You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, May 26, 2025, and Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. If you're in America, it's Memorial Day, so maybe it's not a work week for you. Maybe you're not. Maybe you get you join the last day of a three-day weekend. I hope so. And hopefully you got a chance to chill out, relax a little bit, and of course, listen to this show. As I am wanted to do, it is Monday. So it is Daily Mail Monday. Got some hand-selected dandy stories from the Daily Mail to go through today, which we will go ahead and get right into. Our first one, the headline is, Fox News host shocks viewers with stunning confession. I apologize to the entire world. A Fox News host apologized to the entire world for the supposed misinformation cable news exports while facing renewed calls to be fired from the network. Just so you understand, this woman is not confessing that she's doing any of that. How do you apologize? Doesn't apologizing insinuate that you yourself have done something? Somebody's, if I came to you and said, hey, I apologize that your car got stolen last night, you'd be like, so you're the one that stole my car. How do you apologize for something if you didn't do it? It's like a non-apology apology. And of course, I guess you would say it's just another form of virtue signaling. Jessica Tarlov, who serves as the sole liberal panelist on The Five, made the astonishing remarks on the Prof G podcast, which she co-hosts with Scott Galloway. The two were speaking with Larry Sabato, the University of Virginia Center for Politics founder and director, when Tarlov asked what issue enrages him the most. He then replied that he rages about a lot of issues these days, which he attributed to the effects of cable news. I watch more TV news than I ever have before. I stumble there because there's so many misspellings in a typical Daily Mail article. You have to bear with me. I watch more TV news than I ever have before, Sabato admitted. Well, there's your first problem. Seriously, why would you do that? I mean, why? So you watch this, you watch these shows. What? It's not to get informed. You just watch it so you can be angry. It'd be like if I chose to sit around and spend hours watching any of them, you expect, of course, like MSNBC or CNN or something, but Fox News too. I mean, all of it. If I sat around and watched that crap for hours on end, I would be in a constant emotional state too. Negative emotional state. Why would somebody choose to do that? How is that constructive? How does that make your life any better? As y'all know, I am loathe of politics. This is why I do this version of the Daily Nationalist now. And for the most part, I avoid even talking about politics because I hate it. It's all fake. It's all theater. All of it. You know, all of it. You know, I see MAGA people, diehard MAGA people still talking about Trump's going to do this and Trump is going to do it. And there's no sign he's doing any of this. Likewise, these leftists, you know, I don't even know what these people even stand for anymore. I mean, at one point I would say, you know, leftists believe that, you know, they're going to help the common working people, but they don't apparently even care about them anymore. Nothing, It's all pointless. Why would you sit around and expose yourself to this for hours on end? TV funnels what's selling on social media, I think, more than the reverse. And that makes me rage.
Then don't watch it.
It makes him rage. TV funnels what's selling on social media, I think, more than the reverse. And that makes me rage. I don't understand why anybody would intentionally subject themselves to being in a negative mental state. I mean, what's he raging about? Does he watch these shows and people disagree with him and that makes him angry? That's why I don't grasp too. I mean, why is he enraged? Because you watch this and you get the impression that people disagree with you and that really makes you angry? Or do you have some belief that everybody really agrees with you, but these people are saying they don't? I don't even understand. Anyway, Turlove agreed and said, as someone who's on cable news, I apologize to the entire world for what we export. Well, you're not going to stop. You're not going to stop taking that paycheck, are you, disingenuous? Anyway. She did not clarify what she meant, but her comments made Sabato start to laugh as he lamented how social media is driving political discourse. Well, I'll be the first to say that social media is a cancer for the most part. I mean, social media, if you're going to believe in the democracy thing, imagine these people would proclaim, I bet if you asked them, they would proudly proclaim how much they believe in, quote unquote, this construction of our quote unquote democracy. And then turn around and talk about how it enrages them that people on social media, I'm assuming, disagreeing with them. So on the one hand, supposedly they support our democracy values of who we are and equality and all of the rest of that. But on the other hand, they dislike the fact that regular people are out there able to voice their opinions. I mean, I don't even understand what the gripe is. It's self-inflicted, man. You know, just don't watch that crap. You know, it's not like you're... I love how people get this mindset, you know, because if you tell people that are like this, because you'll run into them, you know, IRL in your real life, and they'll talk about how upset they get. And they watch these news shows and they watch these talk shows or whatever, and they get so mad. And you ask them, it's like, well, then why do you watch it? Oh, well, I have to watch it. On the one hand, they'll tell you they're angry because these people lie so much. And you're like, well, why do you watch it then? Well, because I have to stay informed. But you just admitted that you just said that they lie about everything. So you're not getting informed. Again, why are you watching it? It's like if you have people in your life who are toxic. You know, you have people in your life that when you run into them, you know, anytime you run into maybe a family member, maybe people you work with, people at your church, whatever, you will occasionally, it's unavoidable, you have people in your life that are toxic. You run into them and you're just like, oh, I don't want to talk to this person. Yeah. And so why do you do it? You know, I mean, if you're at your job and your boss is like that, I guess you don't have a choice unless you go get another job. But I mean, you know, cut them out of your life. It's like, have you ever known a married couple that, like, and I'm not talking about average, like your run of the mill, like, you know, married couple bickering, you know, because, you know, if you don't know, like if you're younger and you don't know, like it's just a thing. Like when people have been married a long time, they dig at each other just, and they don't even mean anything by it. Like like I said, it's hard to explain. But I'm talking about like married people. If you've ever known married people, that it is obvious that the husband and the wife both, they have one thing mutually in common. And that is they really hate each other. And you wonder, it's like, why you hate each other so bad? Why are you together? What possesses you to just keep doing this every day? You know, I know some of you would be like, see, you're a hypocrite. See, you're promoting divorce. Don't get me started preaching today. This ain't what this show is for. So I'm not taking the bait. Hypothetical bait. Yeah, no, but you do wonder, it's like, why would you expose yourself to somebody you can't stand to be around? You know? I mean, that just, life is short. You know, just cut it out of your eye. And that these people go back. It's like that mindset. They just go back for some more. Go back for some more rage bait. I think people like that just get something out of watching this stuff and personalizing it and getting angry. They just get off on feeling angry. And maybe they have a misplaced sense of righteousness, you know? It's not anger. I have righteous indignation. No, you don't. You're just getting off. You think it makes you a better person by looking at this stuff and how angry you get. See, you're angry because you're such a good person. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just getting a cheap, I don't know. You're just pursuing your own cheap self-satisfaction. And it's highlighted by this woman and her fake-ass apology talking about, oh, I apologize for the garbage we put. Well, you ain't going to quit taking a check, are you, bitch? You're not going to quit taking the, you're not going to say, oh, well, I'm so apologetic. I feel so bad about it. I quit. I'm not going to be a part of it anymore. If you really felt like you were a part of something negative, you quit that. How the hell are you going to say, oh, I apologize, but you're going to keep doing it? Let's keep the outrage going. Next story, outrage as Christian prayer rally attacked by mob of woke trans activists in violent clash that lasted for hours. Dozens were arrested after violence broke out between woke protesters and police at a religious rally in where else but Seattle. The only other place it could have been is Portland. But of course it was in Seattle. I'd like to note too, you notice now the media is using, the Daily Mail is using this term woke. We weren't seeing that before. Woke protesters. I said this before, and I always like to point it out. I know y'all get it, but I like to point out, because sometimes it's easy to miss it. These terms get marketed like our democracy. When you see a term suddenly getting used, you're being subjected to marketing. This woke term is that. All of a sudden now, you're seeing it in these stories. You see it in all these mainstream news stories. You see it in these publications. You see approved YouTubers of conservative bent, and they're talking about woke, these woke protests, the woke protesters. This is a marketing term. They've researched it, and they're marketing it to you, these woke protesters. It's telling that the Daily Mail, say, 5 years ago, weren't necessarily using these terms, were they? Christian activists from On Fire Ministry hosted their May Day USA rally at Cal Anderson Park on Saturday. The event was described as standing together for biblical truth and values as a part of the hashtag Don't Mess With Our Kids movement, according to the organization's Facebook. Now, I'm not even sure what this is about. Are they? I may not know. It's not like I'm tuned in on what's going on in Seattle. Maybe they're still doing all the trans stuff in the elementary schools or something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what where they're going with on there. Counter protesters showed up under the theme of keep your Bibles off our bodies, according to Fox 13. I'm not even. These things are organized. All right. It's always interesting that they tell us who organized the one thing. It was organized by this On Fire Ministries, whoever the hell they are. I'm not looking it up. I don't care. But they're not telling us who organized the keep your Bibles off our bodies counter protest. We never get that information. Wonder where it comes from, because it has to be organized. They want you to just think that it happens at random, but it does not. They brought signs that read, Republican lies kill trans people and protect trans youth. Seattle Police Department, a.k.a. America's Heroes, arrested 23 people throughout the day as clashes between the groups grew violent. You see, just both sides got violent. I don't think that's probably how that played out. Police working to keep two different groups apart witnessed multiple people inside of one group. Which group was it, Daily Mail? Do tell. Throw items at the opposing group around 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, SPD said. Officers immediately moved to arrest the people responsible. Again, we're not being told who it was. And while taking the individuals into custody, were assaulted by more protesters. Again, we're not telling us which side it was. Resulting in even more arrests. In total, officers arrested 11 during the initial scuffle. This is more rage bait, by the way. What is this supposed ministry accomplishing? you go to the middle of the Pacific shitlib left west to do this prayer thing in the park. And what do you, what is this going to accomplish? What, how would you define this as successful? You know, I mean, what would have, what would the organizers of this, you know, what would the outcome that they would deem, they would qualify as a success? When they tell people, told people to come to this, you know, what would they lay out as, this will be successful if we accomplish A, B, or C? I mean, change government policy? Are they going to change policy in Seattle because you did this? I mean, what are you even trying to accomplish here? Now, I was going to stop reading there, but I wanted to read this one more little bit here. Mayor Bruce Harrell condemned May Day USA's rally and claimed violence only broke out because anarchists infiltrated the event. Today's far-right rally was held here for this very reason, to provoke a reaction by promoting beliefs that are inherently opposed to our city's values in the heart of Seattle's most prominent LGBTQ plus neighborhood. Harrell said they're far right now. They're far right. By the way, this was a far right prayer meeting. And the only reason the other side got violent is they were infiltrated. The anarchists, whoever that is, snuck in. Look, just like our previous story, it's rage bait. Okay, when you read this stuff and they're using these provocative terms, far right prayer activists, woke mob counter protesters, it's rage bait. I've really come. There was a, you know, there was a time that there was actual pushback on this leftist mob stuff, and that got quashed. So now what you have is just rage bait for the public. They put these stories, they organize these things, and the successful outcome is what you have here. The, you know, low-tier leftist thinks, yeah, we shut down the Nazis trying to pray in the park or whatever. And the others talk about how bad this makes the woke left look, and nothing changes. I've really come to realize so much of what you see here. This just rage bait. It's just, it's like if you're still on social media, or if you're around on the internet and somebody's posting something online and you can spot an obvious attempt at rage bait. You know, somebody's just posting something completely disingenuous to get a reaction. That's what all of this crap is. It really amazes me that more people don't realize how much effort is going on, how much money is spent, how much effort and organizing goes in to things to keep everybody at each other's throats, you know, to keep everybody, you know, angry at each other, to keep everybody suspicious of one another. Look, I'm not saying people don't have differences. I'm not saying that, you know, some groups of people want things that are inherently opposed to what other people want and whatnot. What I am pointing out is the gasoline on the fire that they intentionally do with this. They love it. They love it. It's kind of like this, you know, the notion that the government doesn't want this to happen or something is silly. It's kind of like, I don't want to put it. It's kind of like how a government agency is never going to come out and proclaim that their mission has been accomplished. They got the job done. Now you can go ahead and cut our funding and disband us because our work is done here. They're never going to do that. They always have to expand it and create more. They keep fueling this because these sorts of things, and we're going to continue down this route here in a minute, because it's advantageous to keep people squabbling amongst themselves, you know? They highlight people who they know. Look, you ever wonder why they intentionally highlight people that you're not going to like when you look at them or when you hear about it? Like this story here, they have a, you know, on the story, they have a picture of, you know, somebody right there in pink that just looks, you know, disgusting and revolting. That's on purpose. That's being done on purpose. You're supposed to look at this and have a visceral reaction. And everybody keeps fighting amongst themselves, and nobody sits here and says, man, We're all being played. Let's keep the trans theme. We haven't done trans stuff in. Let's keep the trans theme going here. Because we used to get, again, this stuff is all rage bait. You know, remember several years back, everything was trans this, trans that. They were really cramming it down everyone's throat. And we don't get it that much anymore. I was surprised to find a couple of trans-related articles. In fact, there was another one in the Daily Mail. I skipped it. And it was about, you know, a trans athlete attacking women's sports. We used to get these so much. You know, when I was doing the Friday show back when Sven was here, you know, I called it the Daily Transitionalist. I mean, I literally got sick of these stories. I'm just like, Sven, let's do something else. And he's like, oh, I got these trans stories. I told him, it's like we're the Daily Transitionalist now. It's all our stories. And those went away. And then they went to something else. Now today we get a few more. Prominent trans activist featured in hit TV show arrested for a heinous crime. The crime isn't that heinous. I saw the headline because I scroll through here and what I do is I go through the extensive Daily Mail page when I go through picking stories and I do a first cut. Anything, I look at the headline, anything that might be worthy of talking about, I click it over into a tab and then I'll check it out. Of course, I skip over Meghan Markle, anything to do with the royal family, most of anything to do with politics, because that's all stupid. And then I start going through and it's like, yeah, no, not that one. And I come down with something. And when I saw this headline, prominent trans activist featured in hit TV show arrested for heinous crime, I'm thinking, you know, they strangled their lover to death, butchered them into a bunch of pieces, made them into stew, and then froze it in their freezer or some shit. I mean, that's what I would qualify as a heinous crime. No, a transgender activist who was once praised on national television for uplifting her, of course, her community, now faces up to 15 years behind bars after admitting, here comes the heinous crime, to defrauding the U.S. government out of more than $100,000 in pandemic relief funds. That's it. That's the heinous crime. This person defrauded the government out of a whopping $100,000 in pandemic relief funds. Remember just a few short months ago, they were making these revelations. Nothing came of it, of course. Nobody was arrested. But they made these revelations. They called it waste, you know, and the Doge thing. And they said, well, you know, the USAID has wasted, you know, trillions of dollars, whatever it was, billions of dollars. And it wasn't wasted. I said at the time, and I'll say it again, it was stolen. These people are all lining their pockets. It's the same with this military stuff, and you know, the outrageous defense spending that you hear about, you know. When they claim the Pentagon spends $500 on toilet seats, they're not spending $500 on toilet seats. You've got to make the money look like it went somewhere. They spent the same amount on toilet seats that everybody else spends. It's not like they did. They just have all that money that they steal and they line each other's pockets with. They have to make it look like reasonably somewhere. They have to give some sort of accounting of where it went. And so you have $500 toilet seats. The money is stolen. Trillions of dollars, billions, trillions of dollars are handed around. That's why you always hear these, oh, we're going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure and the roads are still unnavigable. You know, because the money is stolen. They all line each other's pockets. It's fraud. It's corruption. It's how this entire system works. And what do you get here? $100,000. And it's a heinous crime. Not millions of dollars stolen. $100,000. I remember during the height of all this pandemic nonsense, there was a, because Sven and I did a show, and because it was another one of these stories just like this, and at the time when all of that was going on, I was observing that, you know, the government, again, They created all these funds to help small businesses through the pandemic. And big corporations were lining their pockets with this money. Big corporations were taking advantage of the payroll protection, all of that. And nothing was being said. It is all in the same vein as they shut down small businesses, but Walmart, Home Depot, they stayed open. And we're just supposed to act like this. Anyway, at the time, me and Sven did a show. And in New York, I believe it was in New York, they had gone after some rapper. I think he was an up-and-coming. He was like a mid-tier rapper. I don't remember. It's been years ago. But this rapper had gotten in on this COVID relief money. And they were sending him to prison. They were trying him to send him to prison because he bought jewelry and you know, gold chains and stuff with his COVID relief money. In the guy's defense, he was claiming that's part of his business. You know, he's a rapper, and you got to have gold chains. You got to rent nice, you know, exotic cars. Got to pay hookers to dance in your videos. You know, it's a part of his business. And unironically, I spent the show defending the black rapper at the time. And I kept pointing out that at the time, corporations were lining their pockets with billions of dollars in taxpayer money and government money. And that was not a problem. This black rapper had gotten his hands on a couple hundred grand and they were throwing the book at him. They were sending him to Rikers or wherever they send prisoners there. You know, they were going after this guy, throwing the book at this black rapper for, you know, like this, you know, a couple hundred grand or something. And I did. I was unironically defending. And it was a funny thing. I don't think I ever mentioned it. But after I did that show, I got an email from somebody that knew the guy. They were a friend of his or whatever. And they basically were like, you know, I appreciate you speaking up for, you know, Big T-Dog Diddy or whatever. Like I say, this was years ago. I don't even remember the guy's name. You know, because everybody else just, yeah, throw him under the book. You know, throw him under the prison. Throw him under the jail. And I was pointing out that this is penny ante stuff. This is what I mean about this rage bait stuff and not falling for it. Transgender activists, you see, they put that front and center. And if you just in the mindset that the media is constantly defending the trans thing, you might miss this, the rage bait aspect of it. They're telling you this for a reason. And the heinous crime of 100 grand. The government loses 100 grand an hour in their couch cushions, so as to speak. And we're supposed to be outraged over this person. Brandon Jarrow, 33, also known publicly as Brandy Jarrow. These are the same people talking about the media that basically want to qualify it as a hate crime if you use somebody's born with male name versus their now adopted female name. You know, that is somehow a hate crime. Or at least they were doing this a couple years ago. Not so much anymore. This person pleaded guilty in federal court earlier this month on two serious, serious felonies. The theft of government funds and making false statements. Imagine if any of our politicians could be held accountable for making false statements. Every campaign season is littered with nothing but fraud because they tell the people they're going to do these things and they never do them. They make nothing but false statements. They claim to do these things so that they'll get elected so they can line their pockets and they never do the things they promise. It's fraud. But hey, send Brandy, what's her name, up, you know, drop the hammer of justice. Jarrow knowingly submitted fraudulent applications to unjustly enrich herself using taxpayer dollars, said acting U.S. attorney Michael M. Simpson. Court documents outlined a brazen scheme that began in June of 2020 when Jarrow submitted a false application for EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loan, through the Small Business Administration. Now, that's a loan. did they pay it back? Were they paying it back? Because if they were making the payments on it, I don't even understand what the complaint is. And now if they defaulted on the loan, I could see where you might have a complaint there. But if this person was making the payments on the loan, what difference does it make? That lie alone netted her a $95,000. You can tell they gear these stories for poor people. You know, because for you or me, $95,000, we see that and we're like, that's a lot of money. You know what I could do with $95,000? These people live in a different world. $95,000, they're sitting around snickering over $95,000. These people are lining themselves with hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. And ultimately, by the time with the widespread corruption, you're talking billions of dollars. And we're getting this treat to this outrageous $95,000. In February of 2021, amid a growing scrutiny of CARES Act abuse, Jarrow submitted another fraudulent application, this time for Paycheck Protection Program. She claimed payroll needs for a business that didn't exist, with the application leading to an additional $20,833 in payout. And like I said, look, I got a memory. And I remember they were saying, oh, this payroll protection thing is to help small businesses, and the corporations were abusing the hell out of it. And nothing. They remember there were rich people who were using this so they wouldn't have to pay their maids. They had tons of money in the bank, but so they wouldn't have to pay their house help. They put in these applications for the government to pay their hired help so they wouldn't have to. And there was no problem with that. They were no getting the book thrown at them for lying to the federal government. Again, if you think anybody in the federal government gives a shit about $95,000, I mean, that is nothing. The Pentagon is unaccountable for trillions of dollars. They've tried to audit them several times, and they can't because the money just disappears. Well, it doesn't disappear. It disappears in somebody's pockets. Trillions. And there's not a peep. No, nobody's concerned about that. Trump just signed a deal for the biggest military Pentagon budget ever. Nobody cares where that money's going. Trillion dollars. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to know where that money's going to go. All these people are going to line their pockets, and no one cares. And we're supposed to think that suddenly the government really gives a shit about this person and their penny ante $95,000. I'm not saying people should be going around defrauding the government, but I find it pretty rich that it's a normal practice in this corrupt system that we have. And yet, again, they rage bait people with a story like this. They make it they make it a point to tell you prominent trans activists. You see, right off the bat, you know who the rage bait is aimed for. $95,000, boy, how dare they? Government won't stand for somebody getting that $95,000. Meanwhile, trillions disappear down the black hole of these government budgets and line people's pockets. But it in this person. Look, this is why I loathe a lot of the, you know, basically politics in general now, because I realize that 90%, it's all theater, and most of it is just some form of rage bait. They're trying to bait you in to get some kind of reaction, to get you into a negative mental state, raging over these things. Nothing's going to change. All your raging, you think something's going to change? You think they're going to change politics? No. What you should take away from a story like this, and most people won't. A standard conservative is going to read this and be like, these crazy trannies. See, this is about to see Trump's making America great again. They're throwing the book at this tranny. Stole 100 grand from American taxpayers. look at this penny ante. Look at this penny ante theft here. Be outraged. It's a trans person. Never mind the billions and billions that these people line their pockets with. It's just rage bait. You can look at this and be in and get, you know, they just want people to get rage baited in and people to think that, well, the government's doing something. They're cracking down on this fraud. They're not. We had, like I said, mentioned earlier, they had that whole Doge thing about USA, but there hasn't been a single indictment. That money was stolen. It wasn't wasted. It was stolen. It was frauded. People lined their pocket and nothing. We're going to hear about who lined their pocket, because I guarantee you the people that lined their pocket out of all that money through USAID, it was a hell of a lot more, $95,000 or $100,000 that this person got. It's just, look, it's just rage bait. You can look at it like we are today and laugh at it, because it's not going to work, or it shouldn't work on you. Don't let it work on you, man. Life is short. Don't spend it in a negative state. They want to put you in a negative state of mind. That was what I was trying to get to a while ago. I kind of lost my train of thought. One of the goals of this sort of thing is that very first story we talked about, and the guy talks about how he's in a constant state of rage. That drains your spiritual, mental energy. That's part of what they want. Because people say, well, why are they doing that? Well, part of it, you could say, to keep people fighting amongst each other. But the other part of that is they want you in a weakened mental and spiritual state. And keeping you in this constant state of agitation, this rage bait, is to keep you draining your spiritual energy. If you are, heaven forbid, if you're on social media, if you're one of these people that reads this crap all the time, look, try taking a break from it. Force yourself to take, I would say, at least a week. But go ahead and just say, if you can't do that, you're so addicted to it, take 3 days off. Just cut yourself off from politics for 3 days. And then ask yourself, do you feel better? The world hasn't changed because now it doesn't have your rage to feed off of. Like, as if your rage was going to change something in this system. The things just go on like they always have. But ask yourself, do you feel better? How's your life? Because I tell you, you're not going to accomplish anything, and you're not going to find yourself in a better place by taking the rage bait. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I will be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, will be here on Wednesday with Orthodox Nationalist Show. And it's a 3-day weekend every week at Radio Albion, because he wraps up our week on Thursdays with his installment of the Daily Nationalist, and always must listen to. So again, if you did get today off, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.